Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, it is time. It's 7 o'clock. On the line is our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We bring Ross Tucker in right now. How'd I do?
Oh, man. That was like a 9.5, okay. 9.75. Yeah. I mean, that was as close to a 10 as it gets, because it's the way you, like, the way you ended, delicious.
Yes.
Like the breath in the delicious was just so good.
Thank you. Okay, good. And I still have room to improve. I still have room to grow. So I like that, Ross. I like that.
Well, that's right. I can't just go ahead and give it to you. You know what I mean?
Like, no.
You got to work for it.
No, I'm down. Hey,
we kind of live in a golden age of mayonnaise where, Will Levis advertises for Hellman's
he
as
does.
Well.
Yeah.
You've got other, you know, you've got, I didn't even know that other mayo companies existed until various ones started sponsoring bowl games and everything.
Yeah.
I feel like, I feel like there's something good about having a mayo war instead of a cola war.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a fair point.
Yeah,
I had only ever heard of Hellman's mayonnaise until that bowl game.
You mean Duke?
Yeah, it was actually Duke's.
Duke Mayo?
Yeah, Duke's, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd only ever heard of.
Oh, you had only ever heard of.
We misheard you.
Yeah, I got you.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know that there was another company.
Right.
But I'm
right.
not saying them because the segment sponsored by Hellman's. Yeah. Mayo game day be delicious.
Be delicious. Yes. Ross Tucker joining us. All right, Ross. So we're very excited this week here. Texans are 5-1, and they head up to Green Bay. Where does C.J. Stroud versus Jordan Love stack up on your intrigue level for quarterback battles so far this season?
Ooh, good question. I would say high.
Yeah.
It feels like these guys are battling to be sort of the apple of our eye of like the new kids on the block.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you got the old heads like Aaron Rodgers. There's not many of them left. Then you've got kind of the guys in their prime, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, I guess Herbert, et cetera, Burrow. But like the new breed or the young guys, I don't know if they're new, they're not rookies, but the young guys, the young guns, feels like it's Stroud and Jordan Love very high on that list of like the young guns. And this is the battle for young gun supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But so this will be, you know, a talking point before and after this game, especially depending on how the game goes. All right, Jordan Love versus C.J. Stroud. It felt like Jordan Love was kind of flying under the radar in a lot of regards, despite a very promising season last year. Where are you right now on, okay, confidence about either of those guys moving forward in their career?
Very high for both. Very high. You know, I guess I would feel like I'm higher on Stroud. And I would say that for two reasons. One is, you know, he did what he did as a rookie, right? Like, that is super impressive. And I feel like the Packers sort of have a better infrastructure in place, or historically have had a better infrastructure in place for a young quarterback to excel like Jordan Love. I mean, they kind of have a formula there in Green Bay that works incredibly well. And that's not a knock on Jordan Love. I just think it's part of the reason for his success. Whereas, you know, there is no formula like that in Houston. There is no track record like that. So the fact that Stroud did it in year one as opposed to year three, and I feel like Stroud really, I feel like he overcame. I mean, they couldn't really run it that well last year. The O-line wasn't great. I mean, he overcame a lot, whereas for Jordan Love, he did a really good job of drafting O-line, tight ends, and receivers around him. That would be the thing in Jordan Love's favor, is that, you know, all these guys around him are so young and can grow and get better with him, which, you know, I guess you could say that about Nico Collins and Dell to some extent, but that's not the case with like Stephon Diggs or Robert Woods or whatever.
Yeah, and I guess with the big difference between just them being rookie quarterbacks or not last year is that Matt LaFleur's had his system in place up there, so Jordan Love has had time in that system as well as everybody else on the offense. And I think that's where we are with the Texans right now, Ross, where, I mean, without overthinking it, the flat-out addition of Joe Mixon and potentially a different version of Damian Pierce this year made a big difference, and the run game all of a sudden was back on track. It was one game versus the Patriots, but how confident should I feel that, okay, this is for real and the Texans are going to be able to credibly run the ball as long as Joe Mixon is healthy and possibly Damian Pierce if he keeps this up?
So I don't know. I wouldn't be that confident yet. Let's see him do it back-to-back weeks. Mm-hmm. Before I would get too excited about it. Although, my big takeaway from that game, other than I thought Drake May did some positive things and that's a good sign for the Patriots, is that I'm, like, amazed that Joe Mixon is seemingly this critical, this important to the Texans' run game and Texans' team. You know, I think I told you guys this before, but I really thought a couple years ago watching Joe, I thought he was kind of done. You know, he had gotten the ball so much in high school, so much at OU, and even with the Bengals. I mean, he got a lot of touches with the Bengals. And I think 2 years ago I thought, man, I think this guy might be out of juice. And then last year, he kind of had a bounce back year. But even still, the Bengals didn't really love him. You know, they were ready to move on from him. And the Texans saw something there, and they brought him in. And, man, he's been fantastic for them this year.
He has. It's only been two games, Ross, because of the ankle injury. You know, he was out for three and a half games, basically. And your point is interesting to me because now it's got me thinking, like, he didn't do much in training camp. He had a quad injury, but he looked healthy, worked out off to the side. They might have been managing him a little bit. So then he has his dynamite week one against the Colts. Then he sprains the ankle on the hip drop tackle in week two. He's gone for 3 weeks, and now he comes back here in week six, and he's amazing. I always wonder when guys get very specific injuries like that, if it allows the rest of their body to just, especially a running back, not take all those hits. I'm anxious to see if the dynamic you're talking about, once Mixon has played 3, 4, 6 consecutive games. Like, is he holding up in December, or does he look the way you thought he was looking maybe the last couple of years?
Well, that's the positive, I would say, about what we just said about Damian Pierce, mm-hmm. or what Seth said about Damian Pierce. You know, if he can take some of the load off, that would be huge, because you need Mixon, it feels like, to be healthy later in the year. So I think that's significant. You know, I see this all the time, like in college football, because they know that their best play is usually running the quarterback. But they also know that if they run the quarterback too much and he gets hurt, that, like, the season's over and they're screwed. So it's like this dichotomy in, like, so many of these college games I call, where it's like they go in the game, yeah, we're going to really try to limit his touches, and, you know, we it's a long season and he's our guy. And then, like, the fourth quarter happens, or it's like a fourth down, or they get near the goal line, and, like, it's clear as day they're going to run the quarterback, yeah. Right? So For the Texans, that'll be the challenge for Slowik, is like trying to use Pierce as much as possible and not feeling like he always has to have Mixon in there for the, you know, for the every critical situation.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is Pierce has to prove that he can do it.
Yep, no doubt. Ross Tucker joining us. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Ross, we would be remiss not to ask you about what the hell is going on up in Philadelphia with Nick Sirianni taunting fans after an unimpressive win over maybe the worst team in football, the Cleveland Browns?
Well, so there's a lot to it. And I guess the first thing I would tell you is that he is a very emotional guy in every way, right? Like, you guys remember him crying before the Super Bowl? Oh, yeah. And, like, you know, he's like a very emotional guy. And 2 years ago, sometimes he would give the business to the opposing fans, or he would look at the camera or whatever, right? And that's him. And the players kind of loved it. The players really like him. And I guess Brandon Graham and Jalen Hurts said after the game that during the bye week, they encouraged him to be more himself, to be more emotional and more passionate on the sidelines like he was a couple years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. You know, because when that year, when they were killing everybody, Eagles fans kind of loved it. They're like, yeah, this guy's awesome. He's hilarious and whatever, right? And so the players encouraged him to do that. He obviously took it too far. Mm-hmm. You can never win doing that to your own fans. And so he apologized yesterday. And, you know, I'm ready to move on. A lot of people don't want to move on. A lot of people think he should be fired. To which I would say, I mean, he's 3-for-3 in his 3 years of the team making the playoffs. They're 3-2 this year. If someone could explain to me how firing Sirianni gives the Eagles a better chance to have success this year, then I'm all ears. I just don't think that that's the case. I think that that is, you know, the way fans are, which is irrational and making a judgment based on something that they've seen and didn't like.
There hasn't been a lot of hard reflection by Eagles fans thinking, you know, we did run Andy Reid out of here for not being good enough, for merely making 4 NFC championship games in 1 Super Bowl, that, okay, maybe we should be a little bit more patient here.
Exactly. I think if you check out my social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, you know, a bunch of people are already, you know, disagreeing with me or saying, no, get him out of here. You know, it's so easy for fans, and it's especially this way in Philadelphia, to always just want to make a change, always just want to get rid of that guy, fire that guy. And it feels like sometimes it's like a sacrifice, like a sacrificial lamb that they never really have a great, like, then what? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get rid of him. I don't like him. Fire him. Okay, then what? Who's your interim head coach? Is it Vic Fangio? Is it Kellen Moore? Do you think that that helps those guys be better at their job calling the offensive plays or defensive plays? You know, the players like him. It just and that's part of what makes, you know, what we do fun, I guess, is that fans have emotional reactions to things, and that's how they respond. And but there's not typically a lot of long-term thought process, yeah, I guess, for some of these instantaneous reactions.
Ross, you'll be glad to know Nick Caserio is coming on with us, but we scheduled it for tomorrow. When we were scheduling it, I made sure to do it on Wednesday because we had you coming on Tuesday. I didn't want you to get bumped for Nick again.
I love it.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what you should ask him about? I can't remember who told me this, but I think Belichick, like, loved Joe Mixon. If you go back, there might have been quotes from Belichick, you know, Mixon's, like, second, third, or fourth year, where Belichick said something like he thinks he's the best back in the league or as good as any back in the league. Yeah. And so, obviously, Caserio was with Bill, I think, when he still – when was Caserio's first year in Houston?
2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, 1920 is when Belichick said that.
Yep.
Because I always think about that. Like, Belichick loved Mixon, just like he loved Corey Dillon, which is why he got Corey Dillon when I was there.
Yeah.
Very similar
Fred
players.
Fred Taylor.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. He loves bringing in those old guys.
Yep. Clock killing Corey Dillon. Yep, for sure. Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL insider. Hey, Ross, you're on Saturday, Wake Forest at UConn, and then you're on Westwood One for the Sunday night game, right? Jets and Steelers?
That's right. So Saturday, I'm going to hang out. I'm actually going to go to your childhood house, Sean, and still see if there's Zima in the fridge.
Okay.
Maybe have a couple of Zimas from when you were in eighth grade.
They're stashed in the crawl space.
Someone else lives in that house, but had my family still lived in that house, there was definitely Zima in that fridge back in the time frame you're talking about, Ross. I can promise you.
What, you know? Whatever happened to Zima? They had such a first mover advantage.
They did. They were like a one hit wonder, man. They were like Spandau Ballet or Flock of Seagulls, like Zima. They were here for like 3 weeks and then they were gone. I don't know what happened to them.
Oh man, I could tell a lot of stories, but I'll just leave it at that. But yes, and then Sunday night, that Jet Steelers game even just got juicier. I mean, the Jets need to win the game. They're in danger of being. It feels like Top Gun. When they said they would get Maverick up in 10 minutes and the bald, you know, admiral or whatever is like, 10 minutes, BS, this thing will be over in 2 minutes. Well, the Jets better win a game or this thing will be over.
Yes, that's a great point. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And I'll do better next week.
Delicious.
Ross, we'll talk to you later, man. Travel safe. All right, see ya.
The biggest pivot when you talk about Sirianni and where he is right now in the estimation of fans and him being combative with them, I would say the year that Bill O'Brien went off on the fan in the tunnel there, it was in a very disappointing loss to the Broncos that day, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
It was not received as well, and then all of a sudden when the Texans made the playoffs and made the push, I think it was reinterpreted in a lot of people's minds as like, yeah, that's just fiery Bill O'Brien. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. So it all depends on team success.
Yeah.
You either think it's badass if the team is doing well, or it's like signs of turmoil if it's not going well.
Yeah, it was super badass after they beat Buffalo in that playoff game. Not quite as badass as they were coughing up a 24-0 lead a week later against the Chiefs.
And as far as we're trying to get Ross out on time. We always keep him too long. I would say Zima was just simply rebranded as White Claw.